This is Full Logic Reverse. I'm your host, Mike Thornton. We hope you'll stay tuned. Our guest, Gary Ruskin of Commercial Alert. Gary, thank you for being with us on the program today.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Well, we appreciate that you were able to be with us. Can you let our listeners know, let's first talk about Commercial Alert in general, and then what we can do is talk about some of the things that are going on in the school system, like Channel One.
Sure.
But let's talk about Commercial Alert first.
Sure. Commercial Alert's a Ralph Nader organization. It was founded by Ralph Nader about a year and a half ago. It opposes corporate exploitation of children, particularly corporate exploitation of children using advertising and marketing. We also work against the excesses of commercialism, advertising, and marketing in general. So that's what we do. And where this is especially a problem is in the schools. Recently, there's been a last 10 or so years, there's been quite a commercial invasion of the schools, and now there are many, many children across the country who are actually compelled to watch commercial advertising in their schools instead of doing schoolwork when our tax dollars go to fund the schools. And so it's a big problem, and one I hope we'll talk about.
Well, and certainly we will. I'd like to perhaps maybe at first go to the more global perspective on it, if we can, because I think any parent knows what it's like to have your child coming at you about, oh, I just have to absolutely have this thing, whether it be the doll, the toy, the Happy Meal, or whatever. I mean, these commercials are really, really marketed at children, and really children and their parents are being exploited, correct?
Well, that's basically right. Increasingly, advertisers use sophisticated psychological tools to manipulate kids into wanting products, basically making them nag, making them whine, making them scream and fall on the floor. I mean, most parents know what it's like for your kids to do things like that, but they probably don't know that advertisers really poke and probe at kids, even very young kids, to figure out what it is that they have to do to manipulate kids to get them to basically throw tantrums. And what's terrible about it is, of course, you know, it's essentially the sowing of intra-family strife, in order for companies to make commercial gain.
We're talking with Gary Ruskin of Commercial Alert. Now, it really is amazing, Gary, when you're talking about the sort of cold-hearted, calculating callousness of people who create these ads, in the fact that they're willing to do whatever is necessary to get children to just absolutely think they have to need these products. I mean, it's one thing to say, hey, you're going to go after adults. Adults are supposed to protect themselves, though most adults are not very media literate themselves. But to do this to kids is absolutely unconscionable, in my opinion. But there are certainly many, many major companies who do that.
Oh, there's no question, and they're going after kids younger and younger too. For example, I was just reading a quote from a guy named Mike Searles, who was president of a company called Kids R Us, which is a major clothing store. And Searles said, he was, you know, major clothing executive. He said, quote, "If you own this child at an early age, you can own this child for years to come," he explained. Companies are saying, "Hey, I want to own this kid younger and younger." Unquote.
I want to own this kid?
Yeah, that's the way that they, you know, these advertisers, they think in terms of, they use the share word mind share to describe basically owning a kid's mind. They're really very antisocial people, many of them. Here, I'll read you another one, a quote from a woman named Nancy Shalik, who owned something called the Shalik Agency. Quote, "Advertising at its best is making people feel that without their product, you're a loser. Kids are very sensitive to that. If you tell them to buy something, they are resistant. But if you tell them they're a dork if they don't, you've got their attention. You open up their emotional vulnerabilities, and it's very easy to do with kids because they're the most emotionally vulnerable."
Now, with the internet exploding across the country and the world, I mean, there have been any number of companies through their websites that have actually used these websites to gather information not only about the children but also about the child's family as well, to make them even more targetable, if you will, correct?
That's correct. And one of the more alarming things is that there's a new company. It's about a year and a half old. It's called the Zapme Corp. And what it does is it places computers in schools, loans computers to schools essentially as advertising, delivery, and market research and surveillance machines. And kids, when they go to school, the Zapme Corp is now in about 1,700 schools, and they essentially use schools and the compulsory schooling laws as a way to gain access to a captive audience of children in order to extract market research from them while they're at school and to advertise at them while they're at school. And of course, we send kids to school to teach them to learn to read and write and add and think, not to serve as guinea pigs for the advertising and marketing firms of America. But Zapme's in about 1,700 schools. They'll probably be in a few thousand more by the end of the year. And we encourage people to make sure that Zapme does not get into whatever school your kids are in.
I'd like to talk a little bit more about Zapme if we can, because I've also heard about Zapme and just have read a couple of things that have some knowledge about it, peripheral knowledge about Zapme. But on the one hand, we have schools, and I mean, we have our vice president, wannabe president Al Gore, and his boss, Big Bill, talking about, well, we have to wire every school, and every school has to be connected to the internet, which in and of itself, I think, is a good thing. But then at the same time, we have schools cutting deals with corporations like Zapme, which, in essence, they're selling our children so they can get these computers and not have to buy for them out of other budgets, and who knows where that other money goes to, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, the principal problem here with the Zapme Corp really is that it conducts electronic privacy invasion of kids in schools. Essentially, you know, Zapme, its corporate sponsors can collect and distribute personal information of kids, including things like their names, their addresses, and their telephone numbers. Now, it's certainly true that the president and the vice president are hyping the use of the internet quite hard in schools and are pushing schools into using the internet. Now, it's also true that the educational evidence regarding the usefulness of the internet in schools is really pretty, it does not indicate much of a gain at all, except for teachers who are very, very well taught to teach their students. There was a very good piece in the Atlantic Monthly by a guy named Todd Oppenheimer about this, maybe a year and a half ago. So actually, it's not so clear that the educational benefit is particularly large, and this may well be just part of a greater effort of what we're seeing in Washington right now. Many of us joke about it as the great Silicon Valley suck-up contest.
Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Well,
I just love the way you put it.
Well, I mean, essentially, computer firms are now giving a great deal of campaign contributions, in particular, Microsoft gave over $1.2 million in soft money during 1999. American Online gave $650,000, a little more than that, and other companies as well are giving very, very large amounts of soft money. And look, basically in Washington, soft money buys action, and that's how low our democracy has sunk. And so this money buys action, and this is one of the actions I think that it is influencing.
We're talking with Gary Ruskin of Commercial Alert. Gary, there has been this other issue of school districts, in essence, making themselves sort of single-brand zones, in particular, I think, with soda pop companies like Pepsi, Coca-Cola, all of that. So, I mean, there is this huge commercialization going on in schools whereby the administrators of the school district on any number of different levels are, in essence, saying to these big corporations, look, we have these kids here. They're stuck here all day. We can deliver them to you, whether it be limiting their ability to choose a soda or whatever. I mean, this is a really, really big, big problem, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's really big business, too. You know, it wasn't that all that long ago that we thought of the schools as a sanctuary. for our kids, a sanctuary for from commercial hucksters, a place where they would go to school just to learn to read and write and think and reason. But increasingly, the advertisers are using their wily ways to figure out how to get at the students who are, of course, compelled by law to be in school. And so the advertisers are, in a lot of different ways, peddling their products. And one of the more alarming aspects of this is how Coke and Pepsi are working their ways into a great many schools. Now, of course, Coca-Cola is not the kind of, or Pepsi, or there aren't the kind of companies or organizations that you'd want to bring into a school. These are large multinational companies. They don't care about kids. They don't care about their health. They don't care about their well-being or their development. They just want to hook kids into a lifetime of soda drinking, and who cares? And they don't care about skyrocketing levels of childhood obesity or tooth decay. All they care about is profits, and so they don't belong in a school. But increasingly, school administrators are inviting them in, and it's a terrible thing. And we really hope that parents will kick Coke and Pepsi and Zapme and Channel One, all of them, out of the schools.
And what I would like to do is, at some point in this segment, is talk about how parents can do that. I mean, the commercialism of education is going on so many levels. I mean, when you're talking, I'm thinking about soda pop companies and other companies and all of that. But there's also the whole issue of sports shoe endorsements, which, as I understand it now, is going down, targeting individual students who look promising regarding athletics, all the way down into grade schools, much less where perhaps high schools and colleges are, in essence, selling out their athletic departments to be Nike or Reebok or Adidas or whoever. I mean, it just is happening on so many different levels. Is it that the administrators or the people who are supposed to be overseeing this don't care? Or, I mean, I don't get it. It seems to me very clear that this is really problematic, but yet it continues to happen. I mean, what are some of the rationales that administrators and the others responsible for these things are given?
It's important to understand this in the context in which it exists. First, selling to kids is now a very big business. And corporate advertisers and marketers know that there are billions of dollars to be made in selling to kids. And so increasingly, the kids are in the crosshairs of corporate America. They are focusing their advertising and marketing tools on these kids with really quite a remarkable intensity. So that's one thing that's happening. Another thing is that both federal government and to a certain extent state and local governments too just don't protect kids from advertisers who might harm them, like Coke and Pepsi. And the principal reason for this is, of course, that companies and their trade associations and advertisers and marketers, they give soft money in Washington, and kids don't give soft money, and kids don't vote. And so so the corporations do well here, and kids don't do too well. Third, there's been a shift in American business culture, which increasingly sees kids as sort of an economic resource to be exploited, not much different from bauxite or timber. And so when some of the brightest people in our country, see kids in that way, in that cold, dispassionate way of sort of the way that a miner might see bauxite, then we get this sort of exploitation of kids, and then school administrators who used to more strictly protect their kids are not doing so, and that's a sad thing.
We're talking with Gary Reskin of Commercial Alert. Gary, you said the kids don't vote, but their parents do, and except for organizations such as yours and a few others, I mean, I don't certainly hear a whole lot of outcry about this. Is it because they don't know?
Well, part of the problem is that they don't know, and I guess it's not that surprising that the media has really not done a great job of explaining the problems of commercialism, advertising, and marketing when they make their money from advertising and marketing. So that's part of the problem. And as well, a lot of the problem is just that it's just part of the greater corruption of American democracy and how so much influence in Washington is just bought by soft money and by campaign contributions.
Everything has basically become commodified, including the hearts and minds of our kids, is in essence what you're saying.
Yeah, and it's sad. We really need to protect our kids, and especially our youngest kids. Now that there is an increasing effort to go after even 2-year-olds and babies. Now, I mean, that's essentially what Teletubbies is all about. It's more than anything else. Teletubbies is really all about how corporate marketers use the Teletubbies to manipulate the emotions of our youngest kids to the detriment of their health and their development, and how public broadcasting system abets that harvesting of kids' minds. Essentially what happens is Teletubbies, companies like McDonald's or Burger King use Teletubbies to teach unhealthy eating habits to 2-year-olds or to babies, to teach them that hamburgers and french fries and soda pop are good even though we have skyrocketing levels of childhood obesity. If people want to learn more about all these issues, they ought to check out Commercial Alert's website. It's www.essential.org/alert. That's www.essential.org/alert.
And we'll make sure to give that website again. Gary, let's move to the specifics about Channel One. What actually is it? How does it work? And then let's talk about what people might be able to do to stop this.
Sure. Well, Channel One's a marketing company. They deliver about 2 minutes of ads and about 10 minutes of news to captive audiences of about 8 million kids in approximately 12,000 schools across the country. That's about 40% of junior high schools and high schools. Channel One doesn't belong in schools. It's bad for kids, and that's true for many reasons. There's a broad coalition of progressives and conservatives that just sent a lot of letters, both at the federal and state level, that all agree on a number of points about how Channel One is absolutely wrong for kids in schools and parents. First, it uses the compulsory attendance laws to force kids to watch ads, and that's not what the compulsory attendance laws are for. We compel kids to go to school to teach them things, not to compel them to watch ads. It's a total misuse of those laws. Second, it wastes precious school time. In most schools, Channel One consumes the equivalent of about one instructional week of school time each year, including one full day of watching ads. Now, the American education system could be much better, and so it is unconscionable to spend one full school day each year having kids watch ads instead of learning how to read and write an ad. Also, it helps advertisers to bypass the parents to promote products which many parents don't approve of, things like violent movies and unhealthy food and very expensive athletic sneakers and movies laden with sexual or violent content. Another reason is that Channel One wastes tax dollars spent on schools. There was a study done in '98. By a couple of academics, principally at University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, that found that Channel One is essentially a $1.8 billion a year taxpayer subsidy of advertising delivery to kids. And we shouldn't be subsidizing the delivery of advertising to kids in school. We should be using that money to teach them. Also, Channel One can harm kids' health, and the principal reason for this is because it's so much junk food is advertised on it, things like M&M's and Pepsi and Snickers and Twix and gum and all sorts of other junk food, and this is really a problem because obesity is an epidemic in the United States, and it's really skyrocketing among kids, and so is childhood diabetes as well, and given our kids' problems with obesity, it is absolutely craziness for schools to be encouraging children to develop poor eating habits. We should be encouraging kids to eat well, not badly. Also, Channel 1 decides what its ads and program content are, not school boards, and so there's no local control. Also, many of us believe that Channel 1 undermines parents' efforts to teach positive values to their kids. Essentially, Channel 1 is all it teaches kids to buy, that buying is good, that buying will make you happy, and that it'll solve your problems, and that self-gratification and consumption are what makes life worth living. And a lot of us just don't believe that and don't think it ought to be taught in schools. And then the last reason is that it really, Channel 1 corrupts the integrity of public education, and it diminishes the moral authority of schools and of teachers, because essentially when Channel 1 inside of a classroom advertises something, there's an implicit endorsement of the product by the school. And so schools shouldn't be telling kids to buy some kind of soda or candy bar. And when a school becomes kind of a tawdry pitch master, it really takes away from the integrity of the school. And so that's why there's just this very broad coalition of progressive and conservative organizations working together across the country to kick Channel 1 out of the schools.
The questions that come to my mind are, one, who actually controls Channel 1? And then also, what is the rationale that they use for even bringing this into the schools in the first place?
Well, Channel 1 is owned by a company called Prime Media Corp. They're a media company. They're best known for their magazines, like 17 Magazine. The reason why they have been brought into most schools, I think teachers will tell you, is because they loan TV sets to schools. And so our schools, many of them are dramatically underfunded, and the teachers want the TV sets to show other videos. And so that's the principal lure of Channel 1, is that the teachers get to use the TV sets.
I don't know. There's very seldom any time when I'm doing this radio program that I'm actually kind of speechless, but this is one of them. I can go down to the store and get a television relatively cheap. They're not that expensive. And you're telling me that the whole reason that the corporation that puts out something like 17 Magazine is able to get into the schools is because they give them they loan them a television set?
Yeah, I mean, we are selling our kids for so cheap. It's just so depressing, and that's why so many groups from, you know, I work for Ralph Nader, but, you know, so many groups from right and left have joined together to get Channel 1 out of the schools. I mean, for example, you know, the Southern Baptist Convention just passed a resolution urging community leaders to get Channel 1 out of the schools. I mean, almost everybody from right and left are united to get Channel 1 and its commercialism out of the schools.
We're talking with Gary Ruskin of Commercial Alert. Gary, you ready to take a phone call?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Sure, hang on. Caller, you're live on the air.
I recently read something that showed some major commodity companies in the country being involved in school textbooks. I saw a textbook, like it was a math textbook, that had showed a bunch of commodities, like when they're telling you, like, count the number of little boxes, the little boxes were little tubes of toothpaste, or they were, you know, somebody's bottle of soap or something like that. They used recipes inside the computation of math things that you know, how many crafts macaroni and cheese cups fulls do you need to make this stuff, you know? So I'll get off and let you speak to that.
Thank
sure,
you for calling.
Sure. What you're talking about is you're referring to a McGraw-Hill textbook that uses, it's a math textbook, and it uses things like Oreos to teach kids to do math, and it has no place in the schools. We shouldn't be using Oreos to teach kids how to do math. We should keep that kind of commercialism out of the schools. It's not the role of a school to deliver our kids to the corporate marketers of the land. We send our kids to school to teach them how to learn and how to reason, and this has no place in it.
We're talking with Gary Ruskin of Commercial Alert. Caller, you're live on the air.
Calling to ask what...
Turn your radio down.
Thanks, I did. Is that better?
A little bit, not much. Make it quick.
I'll turn it off. Is that better?
Now, are you calling from a cell phone?
Yeah.
Okay, make your question quick.
Okay, I wanted to ask if we could prove that consumerism is a religion, maybe we could keep it out of school.
Thank you.
Yeah, I guess I'm not exactly sure what you mean, but irrespective of whether or not it's a religion, corporations ought not to be able to deliver their messages, their commercial messages to kids in school when they ought to be learning instead, and when we taxpayers pay a great deal of money to make sure that they are learning.
Gary, we just have a few minutes left. What I'd like to do, if we can, is to talk about what parents and other concerned citizens can do about this.
Well, there's a lot that parents can do. First is you should start at home and with your own schools. So first at home, make sure that your home is safe for childhood. And by that I mean try to limit your kids watching a TV. That's the one main way that corporations deliver their messages to your kids. And so one of the best things you can do is just to turn off the TV set or stick it in the closet. Moving to the schools, well, find out what's in your kids' schools. Find out whether or not your kids have got Channel 1 or Zapme or Coke and Pepsi in their schools. And if they do, then make sure that your school board gets rid of these things, because they absolutely do not have any place in a school. But that's not enough. I mean, though that would protect your kids, and that's great for your kids because you're a good parent. What about everybody else's kids? So another thing that we really need to do is we need to do work together in politics to protect kids. One of the best things that we can do is, you know, in 1980, Congress revoked the authority of the Federal Trade Commission to enact rules against advertisers who take advantage of vulnerable and impressionable children. I mean, can you imagine? We Congress is on the side of those who would exploit kids for monetary gain, not on the side of kids. And so that's a law that's got to be revoked. We need the Federal Trade Commission, which is basically the principal advertising watchdog, needs to be able to protect kids. And so we want to empower the Federal Trade Commission to protect kids against advertising for things like violent entertainment or alcohol or tobacco or junk food and fast food. So that's another very important thing. So people should write members of Congress or call them and ask them to empower the watchdogs, the Federal Trade Commission, to protect kids.
It seems that on a bigger level even, that we have to do something about campaign finance, because as long as these companies can pour the kind of money into the system that they're doing, it's going to be a cold day in hell, I would think, before any of these politicians are willing to stand up and do what's necessary.
That's the greatest problem in American politics right now. I totally agree with you that we essentially have the purchase of influence in Washington, and so people with the corporations with the most money get what they want, and the rest of us, well, we're mostly out of luck. And until we change this corrupt campaign finance system, then a lot of other things are going to be hard to do.
We've been speaking with Gary Ruskin of Commercial Alert. Gary, if people wanted to get more information, how could they do that?
Well, the best way to do it is to look at Commercial Alert's webpage, which is www.essential.org/alert. That's www.essential.org/alert. If they want to call me, that's all right as well. Phone number is 202-296-2787.
Gary Ruskin of Commercial Alert, thank you for being with us on the program today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me on the show.
You're welcome. Thank you for joining us for this edition of the program today. I'm your host, Mike Thornton, and it's been my pleasure to be part of the team bringing you Full Logic Reverse. If you'd like more information about FLR, you can contact us via email, flr@jps.net, or by telephone, 530-271-0804. We invite you to join us next time for another edition of Full Logic Reverse.